The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
No Christmas lasts forever. The puppy from the box will lose its novelty and grow big and stink. Maybe make a mess on the floor once in a while. The decorations return to the attic and gather another year's worth of dust, assuming they remain in the same home at all. Extended families go back to their lives after a meal. Presents become rubbish to be tidied. Normalcy resumes. And the snow, however many blankets thick, will always melt as the first warm days of spring usher in. Growing up, Christmas always came in twos. There was one at home, with Mom and Dad, who remedied his jolly spirits with bottles, a day that stretched too far thin over alcoholic clinks and small smiles. Something at dinner would go wrong, or someone's gratitude for a gift would be underwhelming, and a voice would inevitably shout another festive argument. And something always, always broke amidst intoxicated splendor. I would start to dread the day that tree emerged in our living room. Fewer and fewer boxes under it every year. The second would be with my grandparents in their softer home, with their finer plates and my grandmother's fussing over second helpings, a happy few days of play pretend, like I didn't know what was happening to the man who raised me. It soon became apparent that some things weren't being packed away with the tinsel long after Christmas was over. When I was old enough to understand words like cirrhosis, the damage was already written in the yellowing of his eyes, as the holiday smell of alcohol had stuck to him for years aplenty. The final time I saw him on his feet was under the glow of the market tree lights, sweating and shivering, insisting via slurred jokes that he was fine, while Mom pleaded with him to go to the hospital.
"You need help, Darius. This has to stop."
She'd refused to take him, refused to help him unless he wanted it, and begrudgingly settled for watching the man who gently placed a ring on her finger and danced their honeymoon away on tropical isles drink himself to death. Last Christmas Eve, he passed. His liver, obviously. His body had finally done what the rest of us had been too afraid to do, and simply refused to carry him any further. The house was quiet when the call came, the snow outside lying still and innocent, announcing that he'd run out of time. Our home was mute. We'd used all our tears on him long ago. No more sympathy to muster. No more pain. For us. And for him. It felt wrong without his blaring presence. The absence became a far heavier weight on our shoulders. Mom drifted around the house as if the floor might give out beneath her, gathering her untouched mugs and glasses, straightening the cushions he hadn't disturbed in weeks. At one point, she found his Santa hat from the folds of the couch, her fingers running smoothly over the cheap red cotton. And then, she put it back exactly where she found it. Grief didn't come in sobs and wails and talk. Not for us. There was nothing to say that we hadn't already screamed at him. Arguments, begs, threats, promises. No. It came in the sound of a humming fridge and a ticking clock and a creaking house fighting to stay warm. I sat on my bed for most of the day, waiting for unsteady steps up the stairs or a wet cough that rattled the halls, for him to sway in the doorway, stinking, asking his champ if he wanted anything. But the space remained empty. When I did finally lie down, I stared at the ceiling and tried to picture his face, truly remember it, before his skin sallowed and dyed an ugly yellow. It kept slipping away, replaced with never enough hospital visits or the words we couldn't take back. So much left unsaid. I expected tears, some great shuddering release now that it was finally over, but instead, I felt a tight, numb chest, my body choosing to feel nothing at all instead of untangling. Sleep came in thin, broken pieces. The next morning, I took the long, quiet bus ride to my grandparents' new house, my coat carrying the fleeting smell of our hush home. They'd moved a few months prior, trading a cozy cottage for a grand manor at the edge of a new town. Mom said it was a business opportunity and that they deserved to retire somewhere nicer. She didn't know the real reason they'd moved. I never asked. The journey out felt different from the usual gray crawl of the city. Tall buildings and underpasses became soft hills and neat rows of trees, their bare branches laced with frost, fields lay out in clean, white sheets, and villages came and went, arranged for a catalog, their wreath-clad kids spitting out kids dragging sleds, laughing like life had never hurt them. Then I reached my stop, and I stepped into a movie. The town was curated, perfect, picturesque buildings, shop windows framed with garlands and little lights, gingerbread homes, toy trains, handwritten signs taped to the glass, handmade ornaments below. Overhead, streetlights of stars and snowflakes. People sat inside cafes, cupping steaming mugs, faces flushed from anything but vexing arguments. I watched a family jostle each other outside a bakery, bags of pastries in hand, their breath clouding the air. The father wrapped a stern arm around his oldest son, laughing at a joke. The bitterness rose quickly and sharply. Of course, this was where I'd spend my day. A postcard-worthy town where the worst Christmas disaster is a dropped pudding. A town that received bad news slowly, if at all, and where someone like my dad would enact his scenes safely out of frame. No one else aware if he died a night prior. A bus ride away. His liver shot to utter shit. Another knot began to bundle in my chest. My grandparents' new home sat just beyond the last cluster of houses, sat back from the road behind a stone wall and a pair of iron gates painted cheerful green. The estate itself was old, with tall windows and steep, sloping roofs, but there was nothing harsh about its demeanor. Even the ivy climbed the stone in tidy ribbons, and smoke curled from the chimney in thin, friendly lines. They had not held back on the decorations. An utter vomit of light traced every window and balcony, glowing red, green, and gold in the grim daylight. The pungent pine wreath hung on the door, dotted with red berries and a thick bow, a little nativity set and a pair of birch reindeer sat in the front garden, dusted with snow. A happy house.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
gently proud to be dressed up for the holidays.
It was almost too calm, too gentle.
Mom hadn't accompanied me, said she needed to stay behind to deal with things. She'd moved more slowly that morning, like each step ached, before kissing my head at the bus station and telling me that it was safe with her folks. That being here for however long would do me good. And as I pushed open the gate and walked up the path lined with lanterns, I tried my damnedest to believe her. Maybe this year, Christmas could be as advertised. But in that moment, I felt more like an unwelcome package, a lad attending a pantomime in funeral clothes. And that Christmas would be unlike anything I'd ever known. The door swung open before I could knock. My grandparents stood together, almost attached, framed by the hallway light. Nan's eyes were already red-rimmed, but she forced her mouth into some kind of smile. Granddad's hand hovered awkwardly at my shoulder, unable to decide between a pat or an embrace.
"Come in, dearie. You'll freeze out there,"
Nan said quickly, stepping aside. They ushered me in with a rehearsed gentleness, careful not to mention his name, careful not to ask how I was. Their questions came in soft, practical murmurs. Did I sleep on the bus? Was I hungry? All padding around the gloom that followed me inside, as if I were a skittish animal they might scare off. Warmth hit me in the face, the smell of baking dough, the low hiss of a radiator, some old song playing from another room. My coat was shrugged off my shoulders, my bag taken with a, "We'll stick this in your room for now," as I was maneuvered down a polished hallway.
"Nothing heavy today," Granddad said. "Just a nice, quiet Christmas, yeah?"
I nodded. That was when I first saw him. At the end of a corridor was a door leading to a garden. A man stood amidst the thicket, dressed entirely in white. A thick woolen coat, pale trousers, gloves the shade of paper. Even his hair, cut close to his skull, was almost colorless. Beside him sat a giant dog, all sharp muscle and thin gray fur, its shoulders level with the man's hip. Its eyes flicked to me, pale, yellow, assessing.
"Ah," Granddad said, following my gaze. "You've seen our gardener."
The man's eyes slowly found mine, and he politely bowed his head. His face was remarkably forgettable, his features too even, as if someone had drawn it from memory and left out the little human flaws of complexion. There was no dirt on his clothes, no mud on his boots, no trace of the cold in his cheeks, despite the snow clinging to his dog's fur. Nan's hand tightened briefly on my shoulder.
"You'll see him about," she said hastily. "He keeps the grounds in order."
The dog gave a low huff and nudged the man's hand. He rested gloved fingers between its ears, whispering something inaudible.
"Come on, Leo," Granddad said brightly. "Let's get you some cocoa."
No name, no introduction, no mention of where he'd come from or how long he'd worked here. And yet, his presence was an inescapable tug. A silent insistence somewhere in my head urged me to step away from my grandparents, walk down the hall, and hide within his garden. But they steered me away. Away from the corridor and the man who stood behind its end until a corner cut him from view. He rarely moved. His dog did not, watching me go with pricked ears and unblinking eyes. And he was only the first of two strangers in that house. I heard her before I saw her. A girl's voice humming a carol amidst the soft clatter of pans, bowls, and the soft thud of wood hitting dough. I expected a maid, bustling and muttering about timings, but when we stepped into the kitchen, my eyes fell upon a girl my age. Sleeves rolled and cheeks flushed, flour freckled her forearms. She was unsoundly pretty, her violet eyes too bright, her smile too ready, every movement deliberate as she pressed a cutter into a sheet of gingerbread, readying another platoon of men for their march into the oven. Moving through the room as if she'd been born into it, reaching for jars and utensils from the right drawers and cupboards without even looking.
"Morning."
She beamed, regarding us like we were customers. My grandparents weren't startled at the sight of her.
No double take. No fussed apology about not hearing her come in. Nan angled around the girl to the kettle, sidestepping a sprinkle of flour at her feet as if she'd done it 100 times.
You're going to spoil this rotten girl,
she said with a grin, heaving spoonfuls of chocolate powder into mugs.
Someone has to,
the girl said as she looked at me, and her smile widened from ear to ear.
Oh, you must be Leo. They told me so much about you.
Oh, that's nice. Who are you? Granddad's hand stayed firm on my shoulder.
Lavender, he said with such pleasantries. Neighbor's girl helps out.
And we'd be lost without her,
Nan cut in, her voice almost mute within the fizz of a kettle.
I take it your dad,
the words carefully left her mouth, trying to keep it civil,
isn't home.
Is he ever?
For just a moment, in the reflection of the oven's door, her face emptied of all cheerful demeanor. Not sad or angry, just blank. The door opened, and a wave of heat rolled across the room as she turned a tray of baking gingerbread, and then shut it with a bump of her thigh. And her smile returned, a light slotted back into place.
Sit, lad,
Granddad said, pulling out a chair, promising a drink, assuring me that the cheerful, helpful young lady who found herself in their home most days was the most fabulous baker in town. Up close, she smelled of sugar and spice and flowers, earning her namesake. Little crescents of dough clung under her nails as she lifted a final cutout from the board. A tiny frown pitched between her brow, gone in a flash, smothered over by a sunny, overeager grin I'd already decided didn't fit her. She accepted their fussing and praise with a dip of her head, a bright, gleeful sound in the back of her throat, her fingers finally satisfied with the work they'd made along one more tray. I understood the quiet drag underneath her brightness, the unsung gravity that orbited her. I felt it myself, in classes, at gatherings with friends, at work, places where I stood too comfortably playing make-believe, scrounging up every trick I knew to not think about what once waited for me at home.
You like gingerbread, right?
She asked me from across the counter, almost panicked, offering me one of her fresher baked soldiers from a bowl. The light above her burned steadily and warmly, glowing her face like a lost star. For the first time since my arrival, I smiled. I love it. And for the first time in several minutes I'd known her, she smiled, really smiled, as I broke off my first piece. It was delicious. We had a whole day to kill, but every hour spent in that kitchen felt like an age built on borrowed joy. Lavender soon decided.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
That we were going out. It wasn't a question. It was an announcement made over sweeping crumbs and dishes to be washed. One moment, I was at the table with a mug in my hands. The next, I was being handed back my coat and told to put my boots on.
You look comfortable,
Lavender teased with a wink. The cold was a sharp, clean steel of our breath as we stepped outside, waved on and off by my awestruck, giddy grandparents. Lavender tapped her boots, adjusted her scarf, patted down her puffer coat, the same color as her eyes, before leading me along the crunching path that had carved my arrival. Lanterns remained on guard, their small flames bending when the wind shifted, swaying light across the snow. The afternoon looked a little less gray. We were halfway down the path when I saw him again, standing far off to the side behind a little fence where trimmed hedges gave way to bare branched shrubs.
His clothes were the same stark white as before, the dog still pressed against his leg, its fur stippled with a thin, ashen frost. He wasn't close enough to greet, nor far enough to ignore, merely placed in that perfect length of distance that made me question whether we'd interrupted him or walked into his vision on purpose. Lavender's stride stuttered before she angled her body towards me and forced my attention back to the front gate.
Ugh,
she groaned a bit too loudly.
You know, your granddad is very relieved to have a man for the grounds, but you think he could have chosen someone a bit more normal?
Does he live here? I asked. Her mouth tugged, almost a smirk, nearly a flinch.
Sort of. He's always just around.
She never once looked at him, not directly. Her gaze skimmed over him, pretending not to see him, as her jaw tightened, a small muscle in her cheek flickering. The dog's eyes traced us as we neared the gate, unblinking. Its owner didn't say anything or move, save for a slow, lazy tilt of his head, as if he were testing the wind. I tried not to stare. I failed. Lavender bumped my arm.
Don't let him weird you out. He's harmless,
she said, her hand reaching for the gate latch.
Does he have a name? Everyone does. Doesn't mean you need to know it.
Before I could ask what in the hell that was supposed to mean, she swung open the gate and bounded out onto the lane, her boots thumping into packed snow. She twirled, walking back a few paces, smile flaring back to full strength.
Come on, the town won't admire itself.
A gentle, decisive wind pushed at my back, preventing me from sneaking a last look at the silent pair, likely still watching from their ordered shrubs, and nudged me onto the fluffy lane. I slipped and landed face first into the snow. Lavender laughed, an impossibly joyful sound, and helped me to my feet as the latch clicked shut behind us. I fell into step beside her as she began her walk, and she looped an arm through mine as if it were the easiest thing in her life. I did not object.
Wait until you see the main cafe. You wouldn't have spotted it on the bus.
Her voice bounced down the still road.
They do these thick, hot chocolates that will absolutely ruin your teeth.
As good as your gingerbread? She giggled, and I let her talk, letting the promise of sugared windows and a warm booth pull my attention on as the manor shrank away, and the hedges dropped into white fields, and the looming sense of eyes burning holes in the back of my head withered away with the cold. She rambled enough for both of us on the walk down, but there were meticulous gaps in her words, never giving too much of herself away or prying into my personal life either. She told me which house puts its lights up too early every year, which shopkeeper slips extra chocolates to kids who know how to say please, and which old postman insists on sending cards over email. She told me about the winter fair they'd had in the square a few weeks back, about the jazz bands that played despite their numb fingers and the poor Santa whose beard kept slipping down. Her voice was paint, coloring the road ahead. But whenever my questions strayed too close to her, she stepped around them like a patch of black ice.
Do you live nearby?
Yeah, close enough.
She tipped her head towards a hill of houses.
Takes no time to reach your grandparents. They're much nicer than the last couple who lived there.
Siblings?
Huh? Me? No, just me and the old man.
She answered far too quickly.
All the attention, all the disappointment.
Does he know where you are?
Oh, yeah, usually. He's just so busy with work, you know?
She rehearsed this, had practiced these conversations enough times to know exactly which bits to leave out. But she hadn't trained her face enough. There were moments the wind would slap color into her cheeks and she'd glance off, and something hollow, fast, and raw would flash behind her eyes. A tiredness far older than the years she'd lived, one I recognized from my bathroom mirror, in the early hours of the morning, as my parents argued a floor below, and I would wonder how bad it would get this time, powerless to stop it. Again and again, she bore a look I'd known, a look I'd worn. A look I wasn't quite free from. By the time we reached town, the sky had peeled itself back to a washed blue. I noticed more homes this time than on my entry. Clean brick fronts with green or red doors. The road widened, curving between shop fronts, and whatever prior bitterness it had instilled in me was washed away by wonder. older knots in my chest were banished by another endless sea of words that spilled from the girl beside me, who made it her mission to lower dump every detail that encompassed her delightful, festive home. A grand cafe sat in a corner where the streets dipped slightly, its windows fogged and decorated with painted snowflakes, catching the sunlight in little bursts of silver.
"Best place to be,"
Lavender announced, as the murmur from inside grew warmer. A bell chimed as she pushed open the door, and a thick, sweet waft of coffee and sugar and baked treats swarmed me. We drifted through the buzz and laughter to an alcoved window, both half sunk into the wall, its padded seats wrapped in a cracked red vinyl, the table lined with jars of holly and little plates of delicate biscuits. Some berries lined the window shelf. A few had wilted into dark, crumpled dots. Lavender slid into the corner like she was reclaiming a throne, nudging aside a folded newspaper and a sugar jar.
"Welcome to my favorite corner of the earth,"
she said, watching people drift past the window in soft focus as a gentle, obedient snowfall began.
"Should I be honored?"
I sank opposite, and the booth creaked.
"Deeply. I only share it with fellow carriers of baggage."
She said it like a joke, but there was an assessing glint in her eyes, a quick and measuring test of the waters. "I'd earned it. My grandparents told you." She nodded.
"Leo, I'm..."
A waitress brought over drinks without being asked, sliding in front of us a pair of steaming, hefty mugs filled with chocolate and marshmallows.
"On your usual tab, Lav."
"Oh, you're a star, Ellie."
"I know."
Ellie moved away, and Lav turned back to me, cupping her mug in both hands, the steam haloing her face, and revealing a friendly intent watching from her eyes.
"You come here a lot, then,"
I said.
"Outstanding deductions, detective. Any others?"
"You got friends to bother?"
She gave a little.
"The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Truck.
"Yeah, of course. But they have lives too. Normal ones. Here's better."
She glanced around the cafe.
"People come in a bit worn. They sit, and they talk, or they rest, and then they leave looking a little lighter."
"Sounds nice to watch." One of her hands slid across the table and gently cupped mine.
How do you feel?"
she asked in the most delicate tone I believe a human could ever muster. "Lavender, no offense, but..." She cut me off again, as something cold wormed under the warmth in my chest.
"He was a selfish prick, Leo. He treated you and your mom like shit. Start with whatever hurts most. It's not an heirloom to be hoarded. It's rubbish. Bin some of it here."
I stared at my mug, bewildered by her words and the bluntness of how she said them. The cream was already collapsing, leaving brown islands of cocoa, and new drips crashed into the mound, gently overflowing the drink. Fuck. I was crying. I was crying and she didn't even flinch.
I don't.
"Yes, you do."
It boiled out of me inexplicably, uncontrolled and ugly as I vented through heaving, quiet sobs.
"What hurt most?"
Mom was out, so I hid bottles from him once.
I wiped my eyes.
"God, I wanted it all to stop, if only for a night. And he just fucking laughed when he found out, like he was proud of me, like he thought it was cute. And he put his hand tight, like really, really fucking tight on my shoulder. And it just hurt so much. I hadn't looked at him properly in months, and I didn't recognize who was looking down at me. And
she rubbed a gentle thumb over the back of my hand.
He got paralytic that night. Fucking crawled on the floor in his underwear.
I laughed a little at how truly absurd the memory was.
And he passed out in a puddle of piss.
I laughed again.
Fuck. He called me worthless and said he loved me and then said I was a fucking retard or something, that I wasn't welcome at his house, and screamed like he was gonna kill me. And then he woke up the next morning like nothing fucking happened, asking me what I wanted for dinner, like he wasn't gonna do it all over again in a few hours.
Her eyes brightened, like I'd given her exactly what she wanted.
When Mom told me he was gone, I thought that it was easier.
I hated the words as they left my tongue.
Not better, just simpler. I don't know. Like, there'd be no more waiting for the next shit show. But
that's enough,
she said quietly.
Feel better?
I did. I got ripped a growing rot out from within. But then I shifted, suddenly needing her attention off of me.
What about your dad, huh?
I asked, regaining my composure, thankful that no patron noticed me devolving into a blubbering mess.
You must have thoughts.
She went still and took a deep breath.
I'm counting down the days, waiting to see what gets him first. Bottle, car, or stairs.
She gave a tiny, hideous laugh.
And when it happens, I'll be relieved. And hate myself for it.
That's... I snorted.
Familiar?
Of course she understood. A happy, sad girl comforting a sadder boy, sharing a similar burden. She watched me a precious beat longer, and I her, until she seemed to shake herself out of a trance.
Right.
She beamed, straightening up.
I have a proposal. Yes. We neck this,
she shifted her mug,
and ditch this therapy corner, because I want to show you something.
And that would be what? She nodded towards the window, where the gentle snow thickened into a pale blur.
There's a bit of woods just past town. It's quiet. No lights, no carols, just trees and snow, and an occasional squirrel, and a dainty little spot where I go when the world feels a bit loud.
We can stay here, laugh. She raised her mug in a mock toast.
Leo, you look like you're about 10 seconds away from smashing your head into this table. Trust me, we can sulk in better scenery.
There was something in the way she said it. Playful, coaxing, and edged with purpose. Before I could think, she tipped her head back and drained her drink in one go, wincing when the heat hit her. I found it would be easier to follow her than argue. So I gulped down my thick, sickly sweet drink and followed her briskly out the door as she almost skipped away. The town quickly thinned into fields, the fields into a scrabble of plump trees, and the footpath, I imagined, wasn't a path at all. More a trample into the snow by boots and paws and whatever else wandered out here. The air bit sharper the further we went, swallowing the town's sounds until all that remained was the creak of our steps and the huff of our breath. Conversation had slid back into mostly safer territory. She lectured me about her class life and the school she absolutely hated, but would miss. Her hopes and dreams of becoming an actress and making it on her own, and the rumors that my grandparents' manor, once long ago, belonged to some lord whose wife went mad and threw herself from a balcony. I answered when I had to, joked when I could, and every now and then, she would flicker her eyes back to me, checking I was still there and not on the verge of crumbling again. Not yet. Finally, the trees broke into a clearing where a frozen lake lay, a perfect dull mirror pressed into the earth. Snow had caked its surface, except where the wind had cleared thin, glassy veins, dark water shimmering below, surrounded by a ring of trodden shore where previous admirers had stood. Lavender took a long, tired breath, as if she'd been holding it the whole walk.
See? Quiet.
She led me to a fallen log buried in the snow, brushed off space with her glove, and plopped herself down. I sat beside her, the wood cold enough to sting through my clothes as the lake creaked somewhere deep, a slow, pained groan, like some giant turned over in its sleep. A weight pressed on my ribs.
Is this where you bring all of your emotionally constipated boys after a cafe date? I asked.
Just the special ones, she said. Don't get cocky.
She watched the lake, boot tapping a slow, nervous rhythm into the log. When she did look at me, the brightness had drained from her eyes, leaving something empty in its wake.
Leo,
she said.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Just my name. No cute flair. No giggle tucked in. My hands tightened around the log, threatening to snap the bark with a brittle crack.
Yeah.
She studied me, deciding which version of herself she'd lead with. The bouncy, sweet girl from the kitchen, or the one from the booth who'd ripped me open with a handful of words. When she spoke, it came in a low, careful tone.
When my dad's being himself, I come here, because if I don't, I'm going to take a kitchen knife and ram it into the back of his head.
I gasped out a weak laugh.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Her eyes went to my crotch.
I know what it's like to bottle things up.
A shiver walked its way up my back as she shifted closer, our shoulders touching now, the smell of sugar and spice and flowers still wrapped around her.
You're carrying so much of him. He's gone, but he's still in there.
She tapped, very gently, two fingers over my chest.
Everything he ever said, every threat, every time he scared you. And I bet he never said sorry.
I swallowed hard. Yeah, well, I said hoarsely, as her other hand found my thigh. It's never going to just go away. Her eyes exploded at that.
No,
she agreed, nodding.
It doesn't. Not by itself.
The lake popped again. She took a delicate breath, and each word felt perfectly rehearsed, not just in front of a mirror or in the shower, but in far quieter, stranger places.
I can help you. If you want.
I tried to laugh her off.
You already did. In cafe, remember?
She shook her head.
Talking helps, sure. But it doesn't burn the worst of it. That part sits in you. It hurts to even think about letting it go.
Her gaze flicked to the ice, her expression unreadable. And then she looked back to me. And I think I saw just how old she could have been.
I can take it away.
The question splattered on our laps. Foul and awful.
What?
Your pain,
she said, as if it were a mundane offer.
The weight. I can take it,
Leo.
A blunt, stupid surge of anger flared up, quick and defensive, as I stood, much to her disapproval.
Lav, that's not funny. I'm not joking.
There was no smile anymore, not even a hint.
You don't have to carry on. There'll be nights you can't sleep. You'll flinch when someone raises their voice. You'll wait by the door like he might stumble through it, even though you know he won't.
Her eye twitched. I think she'd stopped blinking, too.
Let me take that from you. All of it. And you'll only remember the version of him you want.
For a fleeting moment, one sharp, traitorous moment, I imagined it. I imagined a future where I didn't brace at slammed doors or intoxicated people didn't make me nervous, and I could evolve into a strong young man that my mom could be proud of. I imagined thinking of him and not being met with yellow eyes or a hospital bed and a deteriorating man or that crooked, sloppy grin he wore before he made a mess. Light. The world floated around in my head, dizzy and wrong. I could be light forever. But then other pictures pushed in. Him hoisting me onto his shoulder, only a toddler to watch a live show. His terrible off-key singing he performed while sober. For there was, an age ago, a version of him that didn't drink. The night he cried, when I thought I was asleep, thinking he'd broken my arm, whispering forgotten apologies in the dark, replaced with something pungent. It's tangled together. The good, the monstrous, the pathetic, the pitiful, the hopeful. I couldn't sort it into piles, couldn't keep and throw away. It was him, all of it, the whole awful mess of him. My dad, my voice came out scratchy. I cleared my throat as she watched me with unbearable patience. No, laughing through, that's, no. Her expression didn't waver as the lake creaked one final time. A long and low, guttural moan of grief. She leaned back, resting her hands on her lap, and broke her eyes away from me and aimed them at the sky.
I understand.
Her smile returned in degrees, too slow, reaching her mouth first, then her cheeks, but not quite reaching her eyes. Laugh? A minuscule, cracked laugh fell out of her as the wind stirred, lifting curls of her hair. But it was not just her locks anymore. Fine, colorless threads traced from her head to the branches above, trapping light like crystal, and mapping patterns high in the trees that seemed invisible before.
You would have been perfect.
There was a soft disappointment in her words.
I would have picked you clean, and you would have known only peace.
She uncurled some fingers, palm up, and something sticky lathered from them. A strand that slowly stretched into the air between us. Inside the humming thread, like flies in ember, twitched half-formed pictures. My dad on a carpet, a hospital bed, yellow eyes lost in yellow glass. I flinched back as the strand snapped with a crack, whipping away and vanishing into her sleeve. The woods exhaled. And all at once, the sky above grew dim, as if a sheet of clouds had rolled over the sun, and the branches revealed a structure I hadn't understood in the light. Webbing. Not a veil, but a ceiling, strung from trunk to trunk in thick, glinting ropes. Huge layers of silk sagged between the pines, and as the light shifted, they came alive, images are rippled across them like old film reels. Strangers at a bedside. A boy in a smashed-up kitchen. A woman.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Crying alone in a car. Lavender rose. The log screamed as if something far heavier than a girl had left it. Her coat bulged and split and peeled away like shed skin. And what uncoiled from within were enormous, pale, jointed limbs, unfolding their slow, mortifying grace, each leg longer than I was tall. Her torso stretched and thinned, and a swollen white abdomen swayed up from behind her, veined with faint colors and laced with moving shadows. Her small, familiar face rode at the front of the mass, dragging up with it, eyes now faceted, multiplying me into a dozen tiny fragments. Above, one of the larger webs sparked to life. Not a stranger, but my grandparents in their old cottage. They were younger, much younger, faces raw from crying. Granddad held something wrapped in a blanket that was far, far too small. A dead bundle they rended their faces from.
They gave me this one.
Lavender's voice came from her huge arachnid body, layered, echoed, ancient. She loomed between the trees, more a white shadow than a shape.
So your mother could be there only.
Her massive limbs flexed, testing their reach, and the web screens shivered with a thousand captured griefs. But her eyes were fixed only on me, starving.
You could have been happy, Leo, but you chose to keep him. You will carry that alone, always.
My heart felt like it would burst, staring up at a memory of an aunt I never knew had been born, and at the vast white spider that still wore a girl's smile. Another sheet stirred, tinted in a pale violet. The scene was faint and grainy. The room choked with old furniture. A squat television with dials hunched in a corner, and a man staggered across the room, shouting at something. He kicks a coffee table, sending ash and cards flying into the air. Then she steps in, exhausted and empty inside. She's younger as well. Not by a year or two, but by an era. Her hair is tied back with a ribbon. Her dress hem brushes her knees, but her eyes are the same color. She hides a knife behind her back and then lunges for his head before he can turn around. Snow drifts in through a cracked window, scribbling white along the floor. She is on his back, stabbing until he goes still as snowflakes catch in her hair and litter her face. The silk pulsed once, and the image faded.
My first,
the spider said, almost fondly. It crooned above me, shifting, its eyes twinkling down from an impossible height.
She awoke me that night, showing me what could be taken.
A blob of saliva dropped from its mouth, melting the snow beside me, as it opened a maw of ravenous teeth.
Fred.
not. You'll see her again soon.
The spider began to descend. One long, pale leg settled silently, nearly a step from her boot. Another limb followed. Something moved at the edges of the trees. A shape slipped between the trunks, almost colorless against the snow, manifesting as a tall man in a white coat, a great gray dog at his heel. They didn't crash through the undergrowth to my rescue. They were just suddenly there, as if they had been the entire time.
That's enough.
The gardener's voice was quiet, but it cut deep across the humming web like a bullet and through the earth. The spider froze, a breath away from my shoulder. It hesitated, afraid. All those faceted eyes swiveled, fixing not on me, but on him. The dog growled, a low warning that seemed to run down the trees and into the roots.
He said no,
the gardener added, standing just beyond the ring of trees, one hand resting lightly on his dog's neck. Not a lick of fear touched him. No surprise at the looming thing towering over us. Only the sternness of a man who knew the rules.
You don't take what isn't given.
The spider twitched, a ripple ran through its veins, and I glimpsed Lavender's sulking face.
He is drowning, it spat. Unstranded, he could breathe again. Is that not why he's here?
The webs above vibrated with frustration, their images shivering, stuttering, and buffering.
He was here to choose, not feed you.
He stepped forward, just once, and the spider recoiled. The dog padded beside him, ears raised, its eyes locked onto the nearest limb.
You have your winter. You've eaten well.
His gaze finally met mine.
But this one goes home.
The great white legs spasmed and snapped up, whipping snow into the air as it drew itself far back into a high dark, folding her bulk between the trunks.
You're soft,
it hissed, thwarted. The man tutted, waving his hand.
Back to your work. There'll be others.
A tremor ran through the webs, irritation, or laughter, or both. On the nearest web, a familiar, snow-dusted girl looked up from her kill with violet eyes, smiling at me across all that distance. Then, the image dulled, flatlining into nothing.
Come, boy,
said the gardener, turning as his dog fell into step and headed back towards the path leading to town.
Your mother's here. Best not keep her waiting.
I looked once more into the trees, at ghostly webs dissolving into branches, and the fathomless dark hiding a girl-shaped monster. Then, I forced my legs to move, crunching after a man and his silent hound, at a complete loss for words. Mom was pink-cheeked from the cold and utterly blown away by her parents' new home. She spotted me first and crushed me into a hug that stole my breath, fingers digging into my back. She bombarded me with a million questions. My answers were tired and brief, but it warmed me to see that her smile wasn't patched together for once. Nan moaned about her coat being too small. Granddad poured her something strong and pretended not to be surprised when she chugged it. We ended up in the kitchen, absent its little baker. Mom perched on a stool with a forgotten tea, laughing at one of Nan's awful jokes. And I watched the corners of her mouth soften and the endless brace in her shoulders slack slightly. Her hand found my knee under the table and rested there, a simple gesture that said far more than any apology neither of us had tried. She met Lavender later that afternoon. Just a girl in a greased apron, helping Nan prep the roast, pressing a warm parsnip into her hand.
You must be Leo's mom,
she beamed.
Boy, I tell you, your son has been a delight.
Mom grew flustered at that, a kind of pleased embarrassment she hadn't been allowed to feel in years. Lavender laughed at her jokes, eyes bright. Just a neighbor's girl who knew how to fit in. And I tried not to throw up in my mouth. Dinner came, and Mom leaned over to me, voice low and warm with wine she could actually enjoy.
I think that girl likes you.
A gentle, tipsy, incredulous smile tugged at her mouth.
And you know, I think this might be a Christmas to remember.
I nodded, swallowing down the knot in my throat, and squeezed her hand. Outside, the snow did not cease, and somewhere beyond the windows, the garden slept.
You have no idea,
I said, trying my hardest to ignore the pair of kind, violet eyes that could never seem to look away, watching my mother with a hopeful, eternally famished hunger. I could only hope that if she hung her grief in the trees, I would recognize the woman who came back.
Thank you for listening and delving with me into the dark together.
Please remember to leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you feel so inclined. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others.
Thus, the following will grow.
All stories read in this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. Links in the description.
Thank you for listening and feeding the cause. We'll be seeing you.